This is the Mike Lupica Podcast.
This podcast is great because your enthusiasms, it's why we've all been reading you for so long. This is a great vehicle for you to actually get to, in a long-form way, explore those enthusiasms, sometimes with the perspective of an additional 10 or 20 years.
Thanks for doing this today, pal.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The fun of this is I just talk to guys that I want to talk to.
That's what, to me, is such a blast about listening to your show.
First of all, the first time I ever saw Bernie on television, I started to talk like him as I was watching him.
Can you imagine the great Michael Jordan saying, hey, you know what? We can't beat the Pistons. Let me go join them. The essence of sports is about competition.
In-your-face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Hello, and thanks for joining us again on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking to the host of the new MSNBC show, Saturday Night Politics. He's an author. He is a former advertising titan. He likes it when I call him a titan. He is Donnie Deutsch, but before we get started with Donnie, I want to tell you about our new sponsor, Indochino. And if you've been listening to me talk about it, either at the Mike Lupica Podcast or on the Sports Reporters Podcast, you know how easy the website is to use and how cool the store experience is. Usually you get one, but not both. Everything at Indochino is tailored to you. I love it. I order shirts online, and it's amazing how their process ensures the proper fit, even while shopping online. And it's quality stuff. And you know, when I'm on TV, I have to be looking my best, so you have to check them out. Indochino, the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company, makes shirts and suits to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. You can personalize every single detail, fabric, lining, lapel, pockets, buttons, even your own monogram. Online at Indochino.com or at any of their 40-plus locations across North America. Then relax while your suit gets professionally tailored and mailed to you in a couple of weeks. This week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369. That's at Indochino.com when entering Lupica at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Lupica, for any premium suit for just $369 and free shipping. That's an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Believe me, once you go custom, you don't go back. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast. And you know, it's, I was just talking to my friend Donnie Deutsch before we started today. And Tyler Brewer, you know, sometimes after the fact, we question, you know, our choice of guests. And this may have been a huge mistake today. He's been my friend for a long time. He has a new show on MSNBC, Saturday Night Politics. He was a titan in the advertising business. He likes it when I call him a titan.
Mogul titan, one of the.
Yeah. He's an author. He's a man about town. He had his own show on the USA Network. That's gone. Saturday Night Politics has taken its place. Good morning, Mr. Deutsch.
Good morning, Mr. Lupica. Always a pleasure. And what I was talking, so your audience can know, because you're obviously much older than me, about growing up in Queens and riding the F train and reading Shooting from the Lip in the Daily News every day, and you were a big part of my formative years, as you are to many people. So whenever I'm on with older people and people who shape my childhood, I like to kind of reach out and give props.
Yeah, older people. Hey, so before we started, what the hell's the matter with you saying snippy things about an American hero named Robert Mueller?
Okay, Bob Mueller is an American hero. By the way, you know, his resume speaks for itself. FBI, you know, war hero, you know, so I stand in awe of him. But as far as his role as Bob Mueller in his performance today, you know, I wish he would have gone a little bit of the extra yard. I know his kind of raison d'etre, and I know his thing, you know, very Jack Webb, just nothing but the facts. But I think it's a moment in time, and I think he could wear a little bit of the white hat and maybe, I don't know, add a little bit more of a soundbite that can remain in history. One man's opinion, but obviously Bob Mueller is Bob Mueller, and I respect him, but I just am a little disappointed. I think it could have gone a little farther.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Saturday Night Politics.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Having
By the way,
watched
the movie Mr. Saturday Night with Billy Crystal, an unheralded great movie, but go ahead.
Having watched what we have just watched so far on this morning, let me ask you a question. Who would you rather have on that wall that Jack Nicholson talked about in A Few Good Men? Him or punks like Matt Gaetz? Who would you rather have on that wall?
Way, we obviously know. Look, Bob Mueller's a great American, and some of these putzes, you know.
Gaetz is a punk. He's a punk.
You know, we know that. That's a given. I'm talking about the issue at hand. And look, I've said this all along for people who, and this is even before the report came out, that people who are kind of hanging their hopes on the Mueller report, it was never going to be an answer. It's a process crime. He was never going to get impeached. To people who feel a certain way about Trump, it's not going to change their mind. People who feel another way about Trump, it's not going to change their mind. Yeah, it's part of the overall discussion. But, you know, everything you needed to know was the day the Mueller report came out. I remember I was talking to Tim O'Brien the next day. He happened to be on Morning Joe, the congressman from Youngstown. And like he said, there was not one person in his town hall that asked him about that night. So this is not what people are voting on. I do believe Trump will face criminal charges down the road as it relates to the Trump organization. But this was never going to be the smoking gun or the silver bullet or use whatever metaphor you want to use.
I see where the 45th president of the United States is, of course, quoting Chris Wallace, who if you grade him against the curve, I guess, is a voice of reason at Fox News. But it's a low bar. OK.
Yeah. Talking about good guys there.
Shep Smith
has done and Brett Baer has done it. You know, there are some decent. It's the opinion guys that we all have problems.
But Wallace is saying this is a disaster for Mueller. It's not a disaster for Mueller.
It's a non-event. It's a non-event as far as the entire
story. It's not a reality show, Donnie.
What I'm just saying is, as somebody who's part of the press who covers it, and as somebody who kind of just has a good sense of the American psyche, and I've said this all along, Americans can read. So they have read the simple 10 points. I'm not saying nobody's read the Mueller report. You can understand the two or three very obvious places he obstructed. And hearing Mueller say yes or no against it, I believe the American people are not idiots, that it's not advanced the ball one way or another. You know, if there was going to be a Perry Mason moment, which there isn't, but as far as I had a lot of arguments, a lot of people are, no, there's something dramatic when you hear, no, we know it. It's baked. Nothing to see here. Move on. And that's sad and jaded, but it is the real. I just don't want the Democrats, particularly going into next week. You know, they got to get back to kitchen table issues, and they got to get back to going after the president. And, you know, if next week there's any discussion about Russia or Mueller, it will be a real waste of time and something that plays right into Trump.
We're talking to my friend Donnie Deutsch, and he is my friend, but you know, as always, these situations are extremely fluid.
You basically say you can at any moment in time you can disavow our friendship, and I that's fair.
Yeah. But having just watched what we've watched today, Donnie, and this is a serious question.
Yeah.
Doesn't it fill you with a certain sense of despair? Watching people like Jim Jordan, watching people like Matt Gaetz, watching this Yaya from Georgia, Doug Collins, watching Ratcliffe from Texas.
Here's what I don't understand.
And thinking to yourself, okay, not only did these guys get elected to the Congress, but they actually got on this committee.
Yeah, a few thoughts in no particular order. Number one, I always wonder these guys as they I just as a person, as a man, I don't mean this is a gender issue, just as a human being, how do you look yourself in the mirror? What do they actually believe it? Do they just say, I don't care in the quest for power? Just, you know, we all go through our days making decisions about who we are. And I just, as a person, when, you know, just even last week and watching Kevin McCarthy get up and say,
oh
no,
God,
there wasn't much chanting going on. Like, what do their wives say to them? What do their children say to them? And the more scary part, and I've talked a lot about this, and I'm probably further out there than anybody, is We have to be careful. Could it happen here? When I say could it happen here, the worst things that have happened throughout the world. And the way despots and dictators take over is they discredit the press. They create an other. They get wealthy people to look the other way.
Yep.
They tell you what they're going to do. They get a Justice Department in their pocket. They blur the separation of powers. They get, this is where I'm leading to, with the Republicans, they get an entire branch of the government that will just lemmingly march blindly behind them. And you go, where would the point be? What would Trump have to do? Would it have to be, okay, this entire race of people, they're going to all have to carry IDs all the time before Republicans would stand up? And that's the scare. It's not what they're doing now. It's what are they capable of? And I believe, and something I'm going to get into on my show in the next few weeks, one of the big strategies for the Democrats going forward is stop talking about Trump today. Stop talking about Trump. Let's look at what 4 years from now could look like right. with Trump. Let's paint the opposite picture, dystopian America. Not go crazy, but hey, 30% chance this could happen, and you start to get some pretty scary stuff.
And a reminder that today's episode of the Mike Lupica podcast is being brought to you by our friends at Mack Weldon. Guys, we all have them, right? Of course we do. They're the staples of our wardrobe. How many times have you been in a department store looking at aisles and aisles of underwear and socks? This is not the most invigorating shopping experience, believe me. And you just want to grab and go, but you can't because you're playing a game of roulette as to which ones are going to fit you. That's why they developed Mack Weldon. Welcome to a stress-free, easy shopping experience that will guarantee you the best fit and the most comfortable top drawer apparel you will ever own. Custom engineered fabric, detailed stitching, even odor eliminating underwear and socks make Mack Weldon the obvious choice. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, keep it. Get a refund, no questions asked. Mack Weldon is going to give you a 20% off your first order right now. Go to MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code, wait for it, Lupica. Talking to Donnie Joyce. Now, how long has Saturday Night Politics been on the air now?
It's been on 10 weeks. It's been doing great. We the ratings have been great. The response has been great. It's just, we're having a lot of fun. The name of the show, which obviously coming as a brilliant marketer took, months to come up with, but it does do two things. Obviously it tells where it is, but it's a little bit of a kind of more, edgier, a little bit looser, attitude towards the week. I look at the week and I put a bunch of hypotheses out. We've got a lot of the kind of regulars you would see on, and just bringing a lot of also interesting people from outside of politics talking about politics, whether it's Steve Madden the day that Cohn went to jail and he had been to jail, or it's Howard Lutnick of Cantor Fitzgerald talking about tariffs. People really kind of inside. I had Mark Lazary, the owner of the Bucks, talking about being a sports owner, dealing with some of the issues today as it comes to race and things like that. So it's just a really interesting show. It's doing great, and it's just a lot of fun. We got to get you on, brother.
I wish you all the best, and I mean, I commiserate with you that you've lost my freaking phone number. So, and just when this comes up, the answer is no, okay?
What do you mean no?
No, the answer is no. It's a blanket no. No, 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 no. It's 10 weeks in? No, it's too late. It's too late. The shit. No. Just
no,
imagine
way,
yourself.
You premiere. Okay, all right. Okay.
Imagine.
By the way.
Imagine yourself running for the F train. Oh, you're running down the steps. The F train's leaving for the city. Somebody's got the Daily News in there. You're going to read Mike Lupica's column. Oh, God, the door's just shut.
You a funny Irishman, my friend.
Yeah, that's why, that's why you see me with my friend, my true friend, Ari Melber. Okay, Donnie, before we get to the Democrats and the ones who will be on the stage again with the next two debates, okay? Mm-hmm. When you look at the current political climate, and I have written this, I believe this, okay? I believe that this is the worst time in this country, apart from world wars, since the Civil War. I think it's the most uncivil time in this country.
Not hyperbole. I couldn't agree with you more.
And I want you to address this. I think it is also the dumbest, lowest point in the history of governance in this country. And what I tell people all the time, Donnie, is you think it's bad now.
Wait till you see what it's going to look like and sound like from now until November of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Couldn't agree with you more. Obviously, how low can you go? And we'll keep lowering that limbo bar. I think the important thing for the Democrats, and I going into this week, if I was running for president, I would stand up at my first show and say, hey, guys, look, you guys are all great Americans. You know, I would vote for any one of you, okay? But we are at a moment in time right now that I think each one of us over the next 90 minutes should present our simple case. Here's why I beat Donald Trump. Let's not go at each other. Like, it's just, this is a zero-sum game at this point. And whether you believe or don't believe in single-payer insurance, that's not the issue here, is that, because we're going to go, think about moving the ball forward 10 yards. We're going to go back 90 yards if we don't get this right. There is a beast in the White House, a barbarian, has stormed the gate, and that's what a leader would do at this point. And for instance, if they start getting into, after last week in North Carolina, if they get into race at each other about Biden busing, or was Kamala too hard on African Americans, you know, as an attorney general, they will look like the biggest disconnected fools in the entire world. So it is a moment in time to step up. There is only what, this is not about insurance. This is not about the economy. This is not about immigration. It's about all those things. It's about beat Trump. I'm a businessman, and I am saying right now, nothing can happen. Only bad things will happen. This is not a policy election. This is a election of humans. This human versus that human. Who are we as a country? And that's where this is right now.
And Donnie, don't you worry. Don't you worry that in a country this big, that we will once again be talking about an amazingly small amount of voters in all of the usual suspect states that are going to determine the course of the next 4 years of the history of what's supposed to be the most advanced nation on earth. And this is a way for me to ask you, do you not think that at this point in America, we got to take another damn look at the Electoral College?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I couldn't agree with you more. It's so flawed for all the obvious reasons. You said determine the next 4 years. I'm going to say really determine the next 50 years when you obviously think about the two Supreme Court justices that will probably come in. If you think that Trump changed 30% of the federal judge benches across the country and what, you know. So this is and I also believe that in Trump's mind right now, and I'm not 90% sure of this, I'm 100% sure of it, he doesn't think he's ever leaving office. He does not plan on it. If he lost, he would basically say, dictators tell you what they're going to do. He would say, I'm not leaving, it's a recount, there would be this whole thing. And scarily, if he won, and God forbid we lose Congress 2 terms in, this is a guy that will say, let's get rid of term limits. I mean, think of Trump staying longer than 4 more years. This is not a guy that's going to go, I'm going to do it. Like, we're in a very different territory. We are not in Kansas anymore. So, yes, long-winded answer, as my answers usually are to your question. There is a lot at stake, and to think that it's based on, you know, 50,000 voters in a few states. But that's what we got right now. You know what I mean? That's what we got right now, and we got to work with it. And I right now, if the election was today, Trump would win. And I want the Democrats to understand that. I do not, when I see a poll that says Elizabeth Warren would beat Donald Trump in Texas, I say one thing. We need to stop looking at polls, okay? And as much as some of the polls were hidden the Trump vote the first time around, it's going to hide more of the Trump vote. So first time around, Trump showed some of his hand. So if you were receiving a phone call, are you going to vote for Donald Trump? You were like, even if you were, maybe other than if you were one of those zealous 35-40%, maybe you felt a little shy about admitting it. Now it's going to be even harder to admit it if you're one of those swing voters. So let's stop looking at the polls, and the Democrats should be running scared.
Donnie, we're talking to my friend Donnie Deutsch, who's the host of Wednesday Night Politics.
Fuck you. Am I allowed to say that?
What?
On podcast, fuck you.
Yeah, sure.
That's how unhip I am. I know on MSNBC what I can and can't say. I know I can't use the F word.
Well, how pathetic. Sometimes you do.
Yeah, how pathetic the most dynamic, kind of influential part of media right now, podcasts. Yeah. Mr. Media did not know the rules, can I use the F word. So tragic and so sad on my behalf. I apologize to your audience.
Donnie, We're talking to Donnie Deutsch on the Mike Lubick podcast. This is why I like having him on, and it's very nice of him. He has other things to do.
Not much. It was, honestly, it was either this or there is this channel where you can get Green Acres reruns, and so it would have been that or an old Green Acres rerun. So,
Donnie,
thank you for occupying my time.
Who do you think? Who do you think, apart from the 45th president of the United States, who is more dangerous? Okay. Is it a sycophant like Lindsey Graham who has humiliated himself on the public stage, or is it McConnell?
Well, that's a tough question. That's like saying, I can't find the right metaphor, right?
Yeah.
Who is more, well, obviously McConnell. Because
he's got more power. Because he's got more power.
He's the guy that says, oh, we're not going to bring a house to the floor. So obviously McConnell. They're equally as heinous. They're equally as pathetic. Just as human beings, man. I mean, it's like I said, they have grandchildren and children. And
they don't think there's going to be a reckoning for them from history.
That's,
you know,
the other thing that I don't get about these guys is, like, this is a moment. Hopefully it's a moment in time. And, like, history, no history book is going to write about Trump other than the worst president in the history of the United States and write about his co-conspirators. So I don't get the human. If I've always kind of like fashioned myself a social scientist, understanding human behavior. It's what I did for 30 years, understanding why people buy things, why they don't, why they make decisions. So this one baffles me. It absolutely, the only explanation I can give, and probably the best example of somebody like Rudy Giuliani, is people, particularly as they get later in life, anything to stay close to the sun, anything to feel relevant, anything to be near power, that they will corrupt every other decision-making and every other kind of moral value in their life. That's my only explanation.
The great Donnie Deutsch is our guest on the Mike Lubica podcast. More of our conversation right after this from Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me, because if it doesn't confuse me, it's not going to confuse you. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company, of course, is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, damn it, I'm out of time. By the way, it's so funny as people like Chris Wallace, and really, I like Chris Wallace, but he sounds like the mayor of Stupidville when he talks about what a disaster this is for the Democrats and what a disaster it is for Mueller. But Mueller got asked this morning.
I missed something. Where's the disaster part?
No. He said he was quoted on Twitter by the president of the United States. But here's the thing. Representative Buck asked Mueller, this, I don't know if you saw this exchange. Could you charge the president with a crime after he left office? Mueller, yes. Buck, you believe that you could charge the president of the United States with obstruction of justice after he left office? Mueller, yes.
All right, that's
okay?
What I need to know.
And here's Cedric Richmond. So it's fair to say the president tried to protect himself by asking staff to falsify records relevant to an ongoing investigation. Mueller, I would say that's generally a summary. So you tell me how this is a disaster for him or for the Democrats today.
We'll have to ask Mr. Wallace that, because I can't quite say. Do I think it's going to move the ball forward for them? No, but to call it a disaster is insane. So
do you think he'll be impeached?
No question. Not even. Here's why. Because Nancy Pelosi is really smart, and it's a loser. It's a losing proposition. All you're doing is basically igniting the base. They're trying to take our president, the entire president. You're not going to win in the end. You're not going to get those senators. So why go on something that is not going to get you over the goal line and is going to allow the president, because the president operates in simple club terms. I got this club to say this. You know, I got a club to say you're a socialist. So to him say they're trying to take me away and they couldn't do it. Thank goodness. God bless America. Do not give him that. No, they won't. And there'll always be this little chant that great, let the chant exist. But Nancy Pelosi, who is the smartest Democrat by two football fields, is not going to allow that to happen.
Donnie, you know, you're a parent. I'm the parent of four children. People ask me why I made the transition to writing about politics in the Daily News and talking about politics on television, though not on your show.
And
what?
Because it just matters a lot more than anything else, right?
Okay. And what I said in explaining that was, at this time in America, even though I feel like I'm shouting at the ocean, I just didn't feel as a parent that I could sit things out. And I tell my 95-year-old war hero father, I said, Dad, the job of parents is to present our children with a better world than we were presented. I said, yeah. Pop, you did that for us.
Obviously,
I said,
part of the greatest generation.
We complete, yeah.
Yeah, Mike, it's so interesting because I bring up a lot of times I'm on the air if I'm debating, I say, look, I'm a dad. I'm talking as a dad of three.
Yeah.
That's why I said some of the things earlier about some of these characters who were showing no moral character. And it is that moment in time. I helped the DNC in the midterms, and we did a campaign which was all kids that said, vote for me because I can't, you know, and it was a little boy that had certain special needs, as far as, his health, you know, various kids, real kids saying, and that was the basic message. Like, guys, if you can't think about yourself, think about your kids. And there's some real stuff at stake here, because I always think kids are the great equalizer. We're all parents, and I can, somebody who's usually on the other side of the aisle, if I get them talking about kids first, it's a lot easier to talk about other things, because we kind of, at the end of the day, all want the same thing for our kids. So we want them to be healthy. We want them to have a better world. We want them to do better than us. We, you know, all the things that if you're a decent parent, we want. So, yeah, yes, yes, and yes.
You know, it's funny. I said to my pop, who was 20 years old and flying in a B-24 Liberator as a bombardier over Europe in World War II, I said, Pop, is this what you were fighting for? And he said, I know where I was when I was 20. And by the way, you know this, that he never thought of himself as being part of any greatest generation. He was doing not. What yeah. he thought Americans were yeah. supposed to do.
Yeah.
And he said, I just want young people to give me enough confidence going forward that I could at least trust them to drive me to the grocery store. Okay. And Donnie, if young people who have the ability to vote do not come out in yeah. record numbers this time, yeah. then they deserve yeah. whatever happens on the first Tuesday in November in 2020.
Amen. Look, I've been saying all along, and going back to our initial discussion about Mueller, it's about vote. At this point, it's about just get out and vote. And, you know, I kind of did an editorial on my show, Tuesday Night Politics, where I
I know it's Saturday night for sure.
I got it.
And I TiVo it, and I really, I do.
I got everybody, I gave it a concept called plus one. It's not just good enough to vote. Right now, 20 months before the election, target somebody you know. It could be a crossing guard, it could be a bartender
idea.
You know. Somebody who, not
idea.
A yep. crazy zealot, but, and with all of your ability, try and turn them. Spend the next, you got to vote. That's a given. You're going to bring someone else now, you know, either someone who hasn't voted before or someone who you're going to turn them, bring a plus one. And that is your isolate one person and go. Because the best advertising is word of mouth advertising. And there's nothing that an ad's going to do. There's nothing that a speech is going to do that you can't do better. And I kind of challenge my audience to do that.
Donnie, we're talking to Donnie Deutsch, who is, and I say this completely straight faced because I've said it to his face. One of the great advertising guys of the last 30 or 40 years in New York City. Okay. You have a show.
Kind of a giant in the sea of midges, but thank you anyway.
So you have a show now. You have a platform. You get to do a Joe's show. You get to do Nicole's show. You get to do other shows besides your own. Okay. But isn't there a part of you as an American, and you just referenced the midterms, okay, that thinks, wait a minute, what I do and what I accomplished in business, maybe I ought to be one of the point men for whatever man or woman gets the Democratic nomination for president. Wouldn't you be doing a better job I'm not telling you to quit your show.
Well, I got news for you. I've interviewed already Mayor Pete and Cory Booker and Amy Klobuchar. And after I interviewed them, I pulled them aside. I said, I critique guys. Guys, you got to do this. Don't do this. They'll call me back and listen. And I will plan on doing that. Trust me. I will not be quite whoever is the candidate. Well, the first day they're the candidate, we'll get a phone call from me off the record, behind the scenes. Here's what I think. Here, how, you know, and I kind of do it on the air. Interestingly enough, the debate is, do we leave Mueller? What do we do? Impeachment? And I said, guys, you package it as an overall ongoing thing called the Trump criminal investigations. Everything is charity, is this, and you keep a chorus in the background of the Trump criminal investigations. Just keep those words out there. And that was played for Nancy Pelosi. So a lot of what I do on the air, and I even say, hey, Democrats, listen to me. So it's kind of, I'm tying the two of them together. I'm using that platform to talk to specific candidates, to talk to, because it is a show that is watched and it is a network that's watched. So I am actually doing that. As I'm talking to the American public, I'm talking to very specific people. The same way I've said, and I took a lot of gum for it, is Elizabeth Warren, just like Bernie Sanders, is a great American. She's got wonderful ideas. She's just not beating Donald Trump. So let's be smart about that.
I will say this about Elizabeth Warren, and I'm sure
that... Do you agree or disagree with what I just said?
That she cannot beat Donald Trump?
I truly...
No, I don't believe that.
Okay. You disagree or agree with that?
I'll tell you what. And I know we've had this conversation in the green room. And I know that I said to you one morning, we looked up and she was either giving a speech or being interviewed.
Ran somebody a socialist, that's it.
And I said, I'll be president before she will be.
Okay,
and
so
that's what I believed at the time. Don't you think she has grown as a candidate in the time since she's
She has grown tremendously as a candidate, and
right.
That's what she's doing. But, here are the three reasons. Number one, when you get up there, and part of your platform is that you're going to take private insurance away from 140 million Americans, when your opponent can brand you a socialist, that 60% of this country, not only are unfavorable of the word, they think the word is un-American. And I also believe you're not going to get the big money behind her. They're going to sit on the sidelines because there's Democratic money with a conscience. Somehow that conscience goes away when it goes too hard left. And I believe on stage, she will somehow, it will be more Hillary Clinton versus Kamala Harris on stage with her prosecutorial chops, I think will eviscerate her.
All right. Let's talk about Kamala Harris, okay? Because I believe she scares the shit out of Trump. Okay. And she scares the shit out of him for this reason. He does not want to be in anything resembling a real debate situation.
Yes.
Because as you know, he couldn't properly explain to anybody how a bill becomes law.
No.
Okay. And all of the stuff that has happened with judges across the country, he couldn't pick out any of these judges or identify their beliefs if they were in a police lineup.
Yes.
Okay. If he had to say pick number one, pick number two. Okay. So I believe she scares him. I think that she has gained the most from the first debate. Now, let me ask you this.
I actually thought her race moment was her weakest moment. I thought she was...
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I thought when she first said the food fight thing and her style, she's used to talking to 12 jurors. So the one advantage Trump has, he talks plain talk. He doesn't give speeches. He talks. And Kamala has that in a different way. Everybody else out there is like speaking to an audience and she's talking. And it's very powerful.
Hey, Donnie, when you look at what is happening now, okay, when you look at the current landscape, all right, do you worry about Biden being on the stage if it's the two of them, Trump and Biden, down the road?
That's a TBD. We got to see how he plays. You know, yes and no. You know, what I do like...
You think the next debate is important for him?
Very. Crucial. Crucial. He can't... He doesn't have to hit it out of the park. He has to maintain what I call people's perception of an idealized Joe Biden. You know, that basically, you know, I'll give you an old advertising analogy. Let's say I had a car client, and we would do a campaign that was very out there. Instead of showing the cars, we would show rocks and trees. You know, I didn't do that campaign, but that old campaign. And then the client would freak out, and then you go, okay, here's our new campaign. You would just show running footage, your car. Oh, here's your car for 30 seconds. And now it's what I call comfort food advertising. And Biden might be the comfort food solution. You know what? We know he's a little old. He's probably going to have the right people around him. He's not going to steer us into a tree. Let's calm down for the next 4 years if he's got the right running mate. You know. So on the other hand, if he just shows himself to just not be equipped. So he doesn't have to hit a home run. He's got to hit a single or a double, and I think he wins.
And here's the other thing about Joe. Okay, and I think Joe is a good man. And
he's
a very good man.
We know that.
And I think he should have run last time.
Everybody knows. Look, mistake, we all know. Hindsight.
Okay, and I'll tell you why he didn't run. All right. And this comes from people who know him.
Okay.
He couldn't stomach the idea of losing to her. Okay. Whatever he said publicly, I think Joe Biden, if doesn't have contempt for the Clintons, he has no love for the Clintons.
Well, I think it was, look, Obama didn't tap him. It was going to be very hard to run against a candidate that was not, oh, you know, Obama was the first African American.
He had ordained, he had anointed her on 60 Minutes. It's like he was passing the torch.
He wanted the first, you know, female candidate, you know, maybe it was a deal they made for the Clintons to back him first time around. Whatever it was, yes. We all know, and there's no way that Trump would have taken Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. Well, look, we know that. And I think there's not a person on the Democratic side that doesn't know that now.
We grew up in roughly the same time in America. And I will tell you this freely, and I want to get your thoughts on this, okay? I had no idea, even knowing that race is the third rail in this country and always will be, okay? And knowing that white guys and white males can go broke trying to act like they, you know, they're experts on race. I had no idea how much racism there was in this country, how much white resentment there was in this country. And I'll tell you something else, Donnie. I had no idea how many people were pissed off that we elected a black guy twice to be president of the United States.
That's the last part. Let me circle back. Now, we all knew Make America Great was Make America White Again. I knew it because some people that I know, friends of mine who live on Long Island, wealthy people, would give backhanded little things towards Obama. Yeah, that, whatever. So there's the overt racism. And then there's another, it was, wow, you know, we elected a black president. He's actually telling us what to do. And yes, sir, that racism is there in this country, and it has been. And, you know, we live in New York City, and I live on the Upper East Side, and it's very different. And, you know, and it's very easy if you're not happy with your lot in life to say, white man or white man, it's not your fault. It's the Mexicans' fault. It's the Muslims' fault. It's the African Americans' fault, or whatever, because that's a lot easier than looking in the mirror. So we are still a full generation away. But that's it. You. By the way, right off the bat, and one thing, and I've said this, and I've said this on my, I've said this with spit coming out of my mouth on my show. This is how many guys have you spoken to, people, when who vote for Trump? They go, yeah, we know he's an asshole, but he's good for the economy. Fuck you. You don't get to do that anymore. You don't get to, you own it. And the analogy I gave is you are no different now than if you were on that F train and a skinhead, five skinheads are yelling at a person of color, go back to where you came from, and you put your head down and turn the other way. That's what you do when you vote for Trump. You don't get to say the economy anymore. Yes, if you're somebody who makes $45,000 a year and you believe Donald Trump is going to put food on the table, you don't have the luxury of a moral imperative. But if this is the difference between you making $800,000 or $850,000 a year, you own it all now, pal. You don't get to say, oh, he's good for the economy, or he's good for Israel, or yeah, they're all jerks. No. No, pal, you own it.
Donnie Deutsch is our guest on the Mike Lubega podcast. More of our conversation right after this from Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. You always want to ask this about the economy, Donnie, and you would know this better than I, okay? Because you have been in the teeth of watching what works and what doesn't for a very long time. It's a great economy for whom? You tell me for whom, other than the people who will never need a helping hand in their frickin' lives.
You're right. Look, half this country still makes under $30,000 a year. Okay, there is still 400,000. There are still so many people suffering when it comes to health care. There are only 10% of the people own 10% of the people own 90% of the stocks. 50% of the people in this country don't even own stocks. So, you know, there is a swath of this country, unfortunately, a lot of them voted for Trump, that are suffering. And it's getting worse for them. It's not getting better. Trump's snake oil and his magic and his evil genius is he still gets some of those people to believe otherwise. Look, corporate tax cuts, I can give an argument for. You know, even if on the surface, that like there is real economic reason. There is trickle down there. Arguments for giving tax cuts to people making a lot of money, that's insanity. That's pure insanity.
Donnie, I'm talking to my friend Donnie Deutsch on the Mike Lupica podcast, and very happy to have him on today as Robert Mueller is testifying in front of Congress. Donnie, and this sounds naive or at least highfalutin, but I ask it from the heart, okay? When do our better angels, the ones that John Meacham talks about and writes about, okay, when do they start to win the day again in America?
Well, we're going to find out next November, aren't we? That's what it, by the way, and if they don't, now it's not on Trump anymore. It's on us because that's who we are. That's the sobering thing to think about next November. You know, there are a lot of people who voted for Trump the first time. And look, maybe he's just saying some of these things. And what we see is I can't stand what's in front of me. Let's give it a flyer. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You don't have any of those rationalizations anymore. And if we, unless there's Russian interference, but if in a fair election, at least the electoral majority, vote that other way, well, then that's who we are. And that's a bigger problem than who Trump is.
Donnie, Tocqueville and others have said we get the kind of government we deserve. But do we always? Okay, I mean...
No.
Because 65 million people voted for... 65 million people voted for a reality show host.
Mm-hmm. And that was a vote against, I don't want more of this. I just, whatever that is, whatever that new critter is, I've never tasted pistachio donut, surprise. Yeah. And by the way, it may suck, but I just can't eat this, whatever I'm eating right now anymore. And that's what that was. And there's a rationalization to that. You could talk to people who voted and say, hey, look, he's saying all this crap. Maybe it's just a means to an end. It's still pretty horrible, but he knows he's got to get elected. And once he gets in, and that's the magical piece I could never figure out. You know, I have a book called Often Wrong, Never in Doubt, and I showed that the day after Election Day when I went on Morning Joe, and I said, guys, don't worry too much. This guy is so about being loved that he's going to do a pivot. He's got those people. And he got into office, and now he wants to be celebrated by the media elite. He wants people to applaud him in New York City. He wants celebrities to hang out with him. And the big mystery, the psychological mystery, is the guy could be Reagan. You know, all the guy had to do was just not be an asshole. You know, he owns those people. Now, you know, make a little move here, make a little move there, do the right thing. And you got that's what nobody can, at least I can't understand.
We're talking to Donnie Deutsch on the Mike Lupica podcast. A reminder to visit Indochino.com and use the promo code Lupica. And if you've been listening to me talk about it, either at the Mike Lupica podcast or on the Sports Reporters podcast, you know how easy the website is to use and how cool the store experience is. Usually you get one, but not both. Everything at Indochino is tailored to you. I love it. I order shirts online, and it's amazing how their process ensures the proper fit, even while shopping online. And it's quality stuff. And you know, when I'm on TV, I have to be looking my best, so you have to check them out. Indochino, the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company, makes shirts and suits to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. You can personalize every single detail, fabric, lining, lapel, pockets, buttons, even your own monogram. Online at Indochino.com or at any of their 40-plus locations across North America. Then relax while your suit gets professionally tailored and mailed to you in a couple of weeks. This week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369. That's at Indochino.com when entering Lupica at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Lupica, for any premium suit for just $369 and free shipping. That's an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Believe me, once you go custom, you don't go back. Johnny, what would happen? Okay, and the day after send her back, those chants in Carolina, okay? And having done a radio show for a long time, I know how long the 10-second delay is, okay?
Right.
And what I tell people is, here's how long it is, and I'll say, start counting now.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime,
yeah.
Okay? That wasn't just 10 seconds that night. There was 13, nearly 14, because I timed it. What would happen if you brought in a focus group of people in their MAGA hats, okay? Mm-hmm. The ones who really do make you believe that Trump could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue,
right,
and they'd stay with him. And show him saying, well, as you know, I started speaking very quickly. And then show them the tape and then ask them to respond to that lie. What do you think they would say?
I've done a lot of focus. Let's say there are 12 people in the room. 9 would say he did. Okay, he would actually say he did start speaking quickly. And the other 3 go, yeah, you know, whatever it was, you know, those people don't belong to be here anyway. You know, so yeah, that there's nobody would say, good point, maybe he wanted that way. Or they would refute back and go, you know, yeah, he said what he had to say after the fact to calm everybody down, but he wanted those people to stay with it. Like they would, there's 5 ways to spin it. Not one person would give you the answer that you're looking for. You know the answer to that. And first they would say, good for him. He should have let them go longer, you know?
Hey, by the way, I love your plus one idea. And here's the other thing for the people who are going to do the plus ones. Then I want them to go to every single voting spot, okay? And make sure that no legal voter gets turned away, because you know that is going to be part of the game as well. And I'll tell you something else, Donnie. If it is a close election that he loses, which is what I believe is going to happen, he will be disputing the result by 2 a.m. the next day.
Oh, by the way, there will be new... Now, we're going to really be tested with those Republicans, and that's why I said we haven't seen their worst yet, because he will not leave. I'm just telling you, he will say, I didn't lose, and this and that. And, you know, we know what the head of the Department of Justice is right now, don't we? So let's...
Yeah, a bootlicker named Bill Barr.
Yeah, let's play that out, you know? Let's play it out more heinously. Let's just say he loses. Or he thinks he loses, okay? And I don't know the answer to this. And he says, I'm not leaving.
Yep.
And I don't know if the Joint Chiefs of Staff, like, what, who carries him out of the office there? How does that work?
It becomes that old novel. Remember 7 Days in May about the coup and Kirk Douglas and Burke
Lancaster? And he says to people, I want everybody to take to the streets. They stole the election. They'll be like, you want a civil war? The day after the election, pal.
And you know what, Donnie? I remember one of the best books written about Watergate was written by the great Jimmy Breslin. And it was called How the Good Guys Finally Won.
By the way, that Breslin documentary was great.
It was terrific, wasn't it? About a bygone era in newspapers.
And you didn't even fuck it up that much.
No, and you know, it's funny about that, because as close as I am to Pete Hamill to this day, when I was on camera, mostly I was talking about Jimmy, because Jimmy was just sort of that character. But when that book, if you haven't read it, and anybody who's listening to this hasn't read it, How the Good Guys Find, and it's told through the eyes of Tip O'Neill. Okay. And when Nixon finally resigns, and it's so funny you bring
up from his quaint little crime, by the way.
Yeah. And Tip is saying to someone that night, look at how great this country is. Even with what happened tonight, look outside in Washington. There's not a tank in the street. This, even as bad as it was, and as bad as Watergate was, it was handled the way things are supposed to be handled in the United States of America. And I completely agree with you. I have been telling friends for a long time, they will drag him kicking and screaming out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is...
Oh, the worst is not... We have not seen the worst. And Donnie, I've said this to, on the various shows on MSNBC that I've been on, okay? It will take generations to undo the damage that is being done to the Office of the Presidency, and B, our standing around the world. Do you think... I meant to ask you this before. Do you think he's actually... There are enough suckers out there to believe that as he tries to... You know a lot about branding. Does he really think he can brand the Democratic Party with four women representatives on the squad?
Well, he can as far as Fox, because that's what Fox will continue to do. And you know what? People are very simplistic. And yeah, he does, particularly if he's got Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, who they kind of line up in a lot of places. So that's the danger, yes. With those people, I could do it. And I'm a pretty straight shooter.
We got a couple more minutes left with Donnie Deutsch.
There's an easy answer that a person with a brain can say. I stand up and say, look, AOC, she is dangerous to the party. I couldn't disagree with so many things. I was so offended when she would not allow a Jew to say, well, maybe a concentration camp has a specific designation throughout history, and that's okay. And for her to argue and go, well, that's not, as opposed to, I hear you, that's the academic thing. And her Amazon display was pathetic. Oman has offended me. So these are women I would not like to see in office. Having said that, I will defend their right to speak and fight and die for it at the same time. And I think most people can make that gymnastics.
Are you still optimistic about our country?
Yes. I'm an optimistic person. And I believe the good guys do win in the end. But I want to caution that even when good guys win in the end, there could be some horrible stuff that happens in the interim. And if we look through history and we look through certain countries and we look at Germany, Italy, and other places, and Germany not right now is fine, it wasn't for a long time, and a lot of people suffered as a result of it. So I do think in the end, like I said, I'm really a half-class full guy. I believe in people. I think people are intrinsically good, but I do think people are susceptible, and history has shown us, to the evil tonic that Trump sells.
Would Kamala Harris agree to be the vice presidential candidate if Joe Biden is the candidate?
Well, of course she will, for two reasons. Number one, vice president is infinitely more powerful than senator. And number two, she'll be teed up to be the next president. And if I was Biden at that point, if that's the ticket, I would even say, because 78, I am a one-term president. And this is what you're voting for. I think that's the move for Biden. So it automatically answers the, and we're setting up a mosaic for the next 50 years here. So that's the answer.
Donnie Deutsch often says things on television that other people are afraid to say. He is my friend. I am happy. I told him for a long time he ought to have his own show. Now he has it. Saturday Night Politics, one of the great ad men. And I'll just tell you this. I hope that whomever is the Democratic candidate gives you a call, because these next 12 months, there's a great line from one of the best written movies of all time, All About Eve. Fasten your seatbelts. It's not going to be a bumpy evening. It's going to be a bumpy, whatever it is, 16 months. And again, if you think we've bottomed out, folks, we haven't even...
Mike, one more scary thing. He's running for office with two tremendous advantages. No moral compass and the power of the presidency. You put those two things together, what's he capable of? He's capable of starting a war, you name it.
Article 2, he actually believes, he actually said, it gives me the power to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
And there's your constitutional scholar right now. Hey, thanks, pal. Thanks for doing this today. This is really fun.
You got it.
Donnie Deutsch on the Mike Lupica podcast. You can watch him on Saturday Night Politics, see him on Morning Joe, see him with my friend Nicole Wallace. This is why we do this thing. That was just a great 45 minutes. Continue to download. Go to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a comment. Leave two comments. If we made you mad, tell us. If you like what you heard, tell us. And we'll talk to you again in a few days, everybody.
The Mike Lupica podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.